पागर्थ प्रतिपत्तये जगत पितरौ वंदे पार्वती परमेश्वरौ। डियर फ्रेंड्स, इन द फोर्थ लेक्चर ऑफ द सीरीज वी आर गोइंग टू डिस्कस अबाउट द पोस्ट नेटल सेरेमनीज कनेक्टेड विद द गृहसूत्र ट्रेडिशन ऑफ द डोमेस्टिक रिचुअल्स। वेल, दीज पोस्ट नेटल सेरेमनीज आर परफॉर्म्ड फॉर द बेनिफिट ऑफ द चाइल्ड दैट इज बॉर्न, न्यूली बॉर्न चाइल्ड। It is to be, they are to be performed for all the children for that matter, not necessarily the first child. Now, as we see, three aspects decide the nature of a child. According to the Indian tradition, as we all know, we believe in the theory of karma and rebirth, where a being actually is a bundle of the results of its own deeds performed in this birth and the previous births. And nobody can escape from the karma that is performed by it. You perform good deeds and you enjoy the results of it. You perform bad deeds and you have to pay for it. If not in this birth, definitely then the succeeding births. Well, the karma that we perform have a telling effect on every one of us. This has to be undergone. The cycle of birth and death goes on and on. Well, one should not be worried about it, as the Bhagavad Gita would say. It is just like a shirt when it is worn out being thrown away, and a new shirt is taken and worn. Vasamsi jirnani atha vihaya navani grnati naraha aparani. So also the soul leaves a worn out body and takes a new body. Now, when it enters into a new body, it carries with it the effects of the previous births also, the impressions that have been coming along with it. So, when a child is born, it is born with the impressions of the karma of the previous births. That is why sometimes the child smiles or sometimes even cries during his dream or sleep, even the newborn child for that matter. The second point that I would like to draw your attention to. We just started. Sorry. The one that I have already mentioned in the, on the course of the previous lectures also, that is the mood of the parents in which they unite has an effect on the child that is born. All their hopes and aspirations that they have been having in the course of their union will be reflected in the child. The third point that I would like to make is the environment in which the child is brought up. The environment can bring about a change in the attitude of people. The child by nature is guileless and straightforward, truthful and plain. But on seeing the parents, their behavior and that of the people around, well, it picks up certain unwanted qualities. I may just quote one instance of how an innocent child is tutored and its attitude changes. For example, in India, in the buses it would be stated, the children above 3 years, have for them you have to pay full charge. So the father or mother would say, tutor the child earlier. It may be 4 years old. I say, when the conductor asks, you tell that your age is only 3. The child would protest, no, my age is 4. Don't say that, idiot. When the conductor asks, you have to say only 3, otherwise I will have to pay for your ticket. This is how we ourselves tutor the child to utter a lie, though by itself it doesn't. And therefore the environment, the way we behave, it has an effect on the children. There is one more point, that is the prayer. Well, prayer can work miracles. It can bring about a positive change, positive attitude in the minds of the person, whatever may be the effect of the deeds performed in the earlier birth, whatever may be the environment in which it is the child is brought up. And therefore, when prayers are uttered for the welfare of the child, definitely they have an effect on its attitude and its behavior and its entire approach. So, as for the child that is born, It is already born with the impressions of its previous birth. We can do nothing about it. And the second point that I said about the mood in which the parents are uniting, well, that is also over because the child is already born now. But the other two, the proper environment and the prayers for the welfare of the child, these two are very important and these two are what we can provide for the child which is born up now. So it is in this perspective that we are going to look at the postnatal ceremonies that are performed for the sake of the child. That is the first point that I brought to your notice. The second point is immediately after the child is born, before the navel string is cut even, the rituals begin. The father should touch the child and pronounce a few mantras addressed to Agni, the fire god. Divaspari prathamam jagne agnihi asmad vitiyam parijataveedah tritiyam apsu nirmana ajasram indhana yenam jarate swadhihi. I think I have given it here in point number 2. The father touches the child and pronounces this particular mantra, utters this particular mantra. The meaning is also given. Agni rose from the sky first, that is in the form as the sun or the lightning. Then he was born from us as we produced fire. Then he rose from the waters as a subterranean fire. A person of good intellect worships fire god. This particular prayer is uttered with the idea that the child should be as pure as fire itself. The next few mantras are also on the similar lines addressed to the fire god Agni. Primarily, they are in the praise of Agni, and also in the form of prayers addressed to Agni, that the child should grow well and it must have all the benefits and welfare and all that. In another mantra, Agni is praised as being beneficial to the performer, though originally his nature is to destroy, as we see in the forest fire. As the sun, he takes the waters and then transforms them into water vapor and is responsible for the rain. He is the bestower of all the prosperities on the family. May he protect this particular child also. May this son become the worshipper of Agni like us, and let him be blessed by Agni. That is how prayers are addressed to Agni. We go to the third point now. So after pronouncing these 11 mantras addressed to Agni, the father is expected to smell the child. Smelling is an act of affection and love showered on a particular person, and this is how it is ritually in the ritualistic fashion it is performed. Well, whether it is prescribed by the ritual or not, the father has a desire to smell the child. Then he should keep the child on his lap and continue with another prayer. Asmin aham sahasram pushyami yedha manasve vashe. May I attain more and more prosperity. May I be independent. May I attain 1,000 and odd things through the birth of the child. Now in India there is a tradition that the prosperity of the family and the parents is decided by the star position, the planetary position of the child that is born. And therefore immediately after the child is born, the parents go to an astrologer and they cast the chart, and they are eager to know what will be the effect of the child on this family and how the child will be. All these things are very eagerly awaited. So that is how he prays now that everything should be good through the birth of this child. Then we go to the fifth point. Let me take these copies that are available. Then the father performs a little ritual which may be equivalent to probably baptism in Christian tradition. He utters a few mantras into the ears of the child. That is point number 5 here. He prays, Angadangat sambhavasi hridayad adijayase ఆత్మా వై పుత్ర నామాసి త్వం జీవ శరద శతం. యు ఆర్ బోర్న్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ఎవ్రీ లింబ్ ఆఫ్ మైన్, యు ఆర్ బోర్న్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ మై హార్ట్, యు ఆర్ మై ఓన్ సెల్ఫ్ కమింగ్ ఇన్ ఇట్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఇన్ ద నేమ్ ఆఫ్ సన్. మే యూ లివ్ ఫర్ 100 years. అండ్ దెన్ వన్ మోర్ స్టాన్సా ఇస్ రిసైటెడ్, అశ్మా భవ పరశుర్భవ హిరణ్యమస్తృతం భవ పశూనాం త్వా హింకారేణ అభిజిఘ్నామ్యసౌ. హి సేస్ మే యూ బీ స్టోన్, దట్ మీన్స్ మే యూ బీ ఫర్మ్ లైక్ ఎ స్టోన్, మే యూ బీ ఎన్ యాక్స్, యువర్ ఇంటెలెక్ట్ మస్ట్ బి షార్ప్ యాజ్ షార్ప్ యాజ్ అన్ ఇంటెలెక్ట్ యాజ్ అన్ యాక్స్, జస్ట్ యాజ్ ఎ కౌ వుడ్ స్మెల్ ఇట్స్ కాఫ్ విత్ అ సౌండ్ హిమ్, సో ఐఎమ్ స్మెలింగ్ యూ అభిజిగ్రామి. నా ఓన్లీ ది అటరన్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ పర్టికులర్ మంత్ర ఇస్ ప్రిస్క్రైబ్ అకార్డింగ్ టు ద ఎర్లియర్ గృహ్య సూత్రాస్, బట్ ద లేటర్ గృహ్య సూత్రాస్ ఆల్సో ప్రిస్క్రైబ్ ఎ రిచువల్. దట్ ఈస్ ద సే ఎ స్టోన్ స్లాబ్ బట్ మీ మస్ట్ బి బ్రాట్ అండ్ ప్లేస్డ్ అండ్ దెన్ గో పీస్ ఆఫ్ గోల్డ్ ఐ రింగ్ ఆర్ సంథింగ్ మస్ట్ బి ప్లేస్డ్ ఓవర్ ఇట్ అండ్ దెన్ అన్ యాక్స్ మస్ట్ బి కెప్ట్ దేర్ ఆన్ ద స్టోన్ అండ్ దెన్ ద చైల్డ్ షుడ్ బి సెరిమోనియస్లీ ప్లేస్డ్ ఆన్ ది ద స్టోన్ స్టోన్ స్లాబ్ ఫర్ అ మినిట్ ఆర్ టు. సో వాట్ ఒరిజినలీ వాస్ జస్ట్ అన్ అటరన్స్ ఆఫ్ అ మంత్ర లైక్ దిస్ విత్ దిస్ దిస్ పర్టికులర్ ఫ్యాషన్ టర్న్డ్ అవుట్ టు బి ఎ రిచువల్ ఆల్సో ఇన్ లెటర్ లెటర్ గృహ లిటరేచర్. వెన్ వీ గో టు ద 7th పాయింట్, దెన్ ఆఫ్టర్ దిస్ అటరన్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ పర్టికులర్ మంత్ర, ద ఫాదర్ షుడ్ మిక్స్ ఎ లిటిల్ ఆఫ్ హనీ అండ్ ఘీ ఇన్ అ స్మాల్ వెజల్ అండ్ టేక్ ఇట్ ఇన్ సమ్ గోల్డెన్ స్పూన్, ఇఫ్ నా స్పూన్ అట్లీస్ట్ త్రూ ద రింగ్, జస్ట్ డ్రాప్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్ అండ్ గివ్ ఇట్ టు ద చైల్డ్ విత్ అటరన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఫ్యూ మోర్ మంత్రాస్. మేధాంతే దేవ సవిత, మేధాంతే దేవీ సరస్వతి, మేధాంతే అశ్వినౌ దేవౌ ఆధత్తం పుష్కర సజ. మే లార్డ్ సవిత, దట్ ఈస్ ద సన్ గాడ్, గ్రాంట్ యూ ద ఇంటలెక్ట్ మేధ. మే గాడ్ సరస్వతి గ్రాంట్ యూ ఇంటలెక్ట్. మే ద అశ్విన్ గాడ్స్ గ్రాంట్ యూ ఇంటలెక్ట్. లెట్ దెమ్ బ్రింగ్ ఆల్ బెనిఫిట్స్ లైక్ బ్రింగింగ్ ఎ గార్లెండ్ ఆఫ్ ఫ్లవర్స్. అండ్ దెన్ హీ ఆల్సో సేస్ త్వయి మేధాం త్వయి ప్రజాం త్వయ్యగ్ని తేజో దధాతు, త్వయి మేధాం త్వయి ప్రజాం త్వయి ఇంద్ర ఇంద్రియం దధాతు, త్వయి మేధాం త్వయి ప్రజాం త్వయి సూర్యోభ్రాజో దధాతు. లెట్ అగ్ని బ్రింగ్ యూ ఇంటలెక్ట్ అండ్ లెట్ ద ప్రాజని కంటిన్యూ త్రూ యూ. లెట్ అగ్ని గివ్ యూ ద స్ట్రెంగ్త్ అండ్ లెట్ ఇంద్ర గివ్ యూ ద స్ట్రెంగ్త్ ఆఫ్ ద డిఫరెంట్ ఆర్గన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద బాడీ అండ్ లెట్ ద సన్ గివ్ యూ ద లస్టర్ ద బ్రిలియంట్ స్పిరిచువల్ లస్టర్. సో దిస్ ఈస్ హౌ ద ఫాదర్ ప్రేస్ after this during the course of this this ceremony known as Jatakarma. Then the child is given a ceremonial bath. Then after this, the 9th point, the father is supposed to reach the right ear of the child and he should utter the word walk 3 times. Walk means speech. Walk, 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 like that he should utter 3 times with the desire that the child should have good speech being able to speak very well and communicate very well, and that the goddess of speech should confer all her blessings on him. That is the idea with which this particular ritual is performed. Then again, a mixture of ghee and curds must be made. And a little of it should be given through a ring or some golden spoon with pronouncement of 6 mantras. I will just give one or two. Kshetriyaitva nirrityaitva druho munchami varunasya pashat anagasam brahmanotva karomi shivetvedyava prithivi ubheyime. I pray that you must be relieved from all kinds of diseases. This is exactly every parent does. He may have it in his mind with respect to the people belonging to the other religions, but in Hindu religion we find that he utters a particular mantra which has the same meaning. May you be relieved from all kinds of diseases. May you be relieved from the clutches of all demons and from the treachery of wicked people and from the fetters of Varuna. I purify you and make you fit to live in this, in both the worlds, this world as well as the other world. And I make you fit for the Vedic study. Then few more mantras are uttered, almost with the similar tradition, similar prayer. Let Agni and the earthly divinities, and also the heavenly divinities, the herbal divinities, all of them, let them be favorable to this child. Let the sky and the directions and the wind and all the elements of nature may be favorable to you. And let the child be released from all sins that it had been carrying through its birth, through its previous karma. And let it be free from diseases. And let it be free from poverty and divine guilt if it has performed anything in the earlier births. And let it attain happiness and prosperity. Surya mamrutam tamaso grahya yad deva amunchan asurajanvyena saha yeva maham imam kshetriyan jamisham sat druho amunchami varunasya pashat. Just as the gods released the sun from the clutches of darkness. During the nightfall, darkness devours the sun, and it is due to the grace of the gods that the sun is released from the darkness in the morning. So I release you from all sins by the application of this food that I am giving to you. And also I relieve you from all the curses of any relatives who might have given anything, and also from the sins carried the previous birth, and also from the fetters of Varuna. Varuna, in present day context, we call him as God of Waters. But originally, Varuna was God of Moral Order. And therefore, very, very often we find in the Vedic prayers, "Oh Varuna, please forgive us if I have done any harm, any sin. You are the Lord of Moral Order. And it is your Varuna Pasha, your fetters that are binding us. Please release us from those fetters." And therefore, in the Jatakarma also, we find such kind of prayers addressed to Varuna. May Varuna relieve this particular child from the fetters. And then he says the three important mantras, Bhuswaha, Bhuvaswaha, Suvaswaha, and gives the child the mixture of honey and curd that has been prepared already. We go on to the next point, the tenth point. Then the child is taken on her lap by the mother and is fed by the right breast. At this stage, the father recites the mantra. Mate kumaragum rakshavadhit, ma dhenuhu atyasarini, priya dhanasya bhuya, yedhamane svegrihe. May not the demons or diseases kill the child. Let not any cow trample by its feet and kill it. May there be increase of prosperity by the birth of this child. And may you be affectionate towards the child. That is how he addresses his wife. And then he addresses the breasts of the wife also. Ayam kumaro jaram dhayatu dighamayuhu yasmaitvam stana prapyaya ayur varcho yasho balam. May the child, which is given long life by you, let it be given a long life by you, breast. Let it be given luster. Let it live a long life. And by your sucking, let the child live till a ripe old age. That is the way with which this mantra is pronounced, and this particular first time in a ritualistic fashion. We go into the next point, the 11th point here. He is to lie, or to put. The ground is touched by the
Yad Bhumer Hridayam Divi Chandramasi Shrutam Tad Urvi Pashyam Maham
Pautravayam Maham Pautramaham.
That is, the dark spots that you find in the moon is supposed to be cast by the shadow of the earth. And therefore it is said, saw sort of a praise for the earthly divinity also. I see you in the moon itself. I see your heart in Prajapati himself. Ma Rudam, I should not cry on any account, on account of
any particular sin that might have been committed by the child and it is carrying it with previous birth. That is, the idea is my son should not commit any sin for the entire life for that matter. So that then the child is put to sleep in the place where it has been sanctified with some more prayers that it should not be overtaken by any disease or cry on account of that. We go on to the next point, the 12th point here in the synopsis. Again, a small ritual. A pot full of water should be placed near the head of the child, and then the father should pronounce a particular mantra. Apasupte sujagrata raksham sinhitonu dadvam. May the water divinities be vigilant and drive away any demons or diseases. Because these elements of nature, they are responsible for our well-being, our diseases and whatever. And therefore, in a symbolic fashion, a pot full of water is kept and it is addressed with prayer that no disease should affect the child. Then again, 13th point, at the entrance of the delivery room, sacred fire should be established, and a mixture of, this mustard seeds and the husk of the rice or paddy should be strewn into the fire with some mantra. This is to be done 8 times with 8 mantras. I will just recite one particular mantra. Ayam kalim pasyantam shvanamiva budvruddham ajam vashitamiva marutaha marutaha padyadvam swaha. This is addressed to divinities called Maruts. They are plural divinities addressed in the Rigveda. O Maruts, drive away all the evil spirits headed by one called Kali that are out to injure this particular child. They are waiting for it. Drive them away. Just as a wild fat dog, when it is trying to injure the crying lambs, it is being driven away by use of a club or a stick. Likewise, drive away these evil spirits headed by Kali, O Marut. Drive away the demons who are wearing the pestle and mortar as their ornaments and who are intent on destroying the child. Protect them, protect the child from the evil effects of these demons. So some more mantras are recited in the same fashion, appealing to all the gods for the welfare of the child. This ritual is called Phalikarana Mantra, Phalikarana Mishra. The mixture of rice husk and mustard seeds offered into the fire. It will break with sound, pada pada pada, like that. That is the idea, that gives an idea that the demons are being driven away. And this has to be performed every day for 10 days after the birth of the child. Now, with regard to this Jatakarma, as we have seen now, it has to be performed immediately after the birth of the child. But then later, this is what is what we see according to the earlier, on the 10th day after the birth of the child. Probably because logical reasons, hygiene. Immediately after the birth of the child, if you are going to perform, and if the child is to be exposed to various effects, then it is rather dangerous. And by practice, they would have learned, by a practical experience, they would have learned. And nowadays, it is performed only on the 10th day. Now, Jatakarma and Namakarana, which we are going to see, they are to be necessarily performed. Normally, what happens is that on the 10th day, the parents, they are expected to perform. Sometimes, due to various reasons, either child is not well, mother is not well, for some reason or other, it is postponed, sometimes it is forgotten. So, what happens is, at the time of the marriage of this particular son or daughter, the priest will inquire the parent, Did you perform the Jatakarma and Namakarna for the child? In all cases, he would blink. Even if he had performed, he would have forgotten. So immediately the priest was, all right, I will perform it now. So he will perform it now and of course get the fee that is prescribed for this Jatakarma Namakarna. Now, for the newly born child, a ritual is also performed according to the folk tradition. This is performed on the sixth day after the birth of the child. In Tamil Nadu, we call it Kaappu. Kaappu, that is protection. The child is decorated with the bangles, silver bracelet and a silver anklet, and they are put to the child, the child is adorned with them, and also a sort of a bangle like thing made of for the leaves of neem tree, they are also tied around it. These are supposed to protect the child from all evil effects and also the evil eye of the onlookers, the what we call as drishti dosha, and also from diseases. And according to tradition, this has to be it has to be performed by the aunt of the child. So this is one way of involving as many relatives as possible. The aunt has a role, the uncle has a role, the parents has a role, and the elderly women have a role. So everybody is involved. And at the end of these birth rites, the Jatakarma, paddy seeds are strewn all over the place, with the idea that prosperity should grow in the house. The entire house should be filled with prosperity. And packets of paddy seeds are also given as gift to all the invitees and visitors, all those who are assembled. So that is the Jatakarma ceremony that is to be performed. Originally, immediately after the birth of the child, according to the earlier Griha Sutra writers, but even later Griha Sutra writers, they say it can be performed on the 10th day after the birth of the child, and that is the practice now. Now we will go on to the 14th point, namely the naming ceremony. Well, the naming ceremony is very important. It is followed in many traditions all over the world in some form or other, naming a child in a very ritualistic fashion. The newly born child has to be named on the 10th day. So nowadays they perform both these things together, Jatakarma and Namakarna, on the 10th day. The parents and the child, they take a sacred bath in the morning, and it is expected that the father and the mother should name the child together. Some guidelines are given for choosing the name of the child, name of the son or daughter. For the sake of convenience, well, it is said the name may have two syllables or four syllables. Like, for example, Hari or Narayana. Hari has two syllables, Narayana four syllables. Then another guideline that is given is, the first portion of the name should refer to an object and therefore a noun. And the second portion may be a verbal derivative with a particle known as quip pratyaya added to it. Well, there is only a small grammatical. I will explain to you what it is. When I give an example, it will be clear. The third idea is that it may end with a long syllable and what we call in Sanskrit a visarga. When we say Ramaha, Krishnaha and Narayanaha, we have the visarga at the end. Now we are going to see some example how the long syllable as well as a visarga is applied. We will see now. And for a boy, it may begin with any of the last three letters of any varga. Now, or ya, ra, la, va, and ha. That is the letters marked with blue ink. They are the last three letters of the varga. And also, yara, lava, and ha. So these are the letters with which the name may begin. Then, well, we saw that it may have two syllables or four syllables. The first portion of the word should refer to an object, and second portion must be a verbal derivative. I give an example. Vardaha. A boy may be named as Vardaha. What is the Vaha? Vaha means water, jalam. And Da refers to giving, giver of water, supplier of water. Vaha dadati iti Vardaha. One who gives water. Or Girdaha. One who gives Gihi means speech. One who renders speech, one who gives speech. So these are examples of two-syllable names, wherein the first portion, Vaha, means water, Gihi means speech, they refer to the noun, they are nouns. And Da, Dadati, Iti is a verbal derivative, giving. So this is how a name can be formed. Or it can be a four-syllable word like Hiranyadaha, one who gives wealth, prosperity, and gold, Hiranyadaha. Or it may begin with the particle su, meaning well, well done, very good, excellent, that's the idea. Su darshanaha, sudarshanaha. It may begin with su also. Now we saw that a verbal derivative like this, da, is attached to the names, and girdaha, vardaha, that we saw. Somehow peculiarly we find in Bengal the word Da being attached to as an honorific term to most of the names. They won't simply, supposing a person has got the name Krishna, they won't say, oh Krishna, Krishna Da, with just honor. So I remember a joke. We know of the two great contemporary philosophers, Derrida and Foucault. This Derrida Da is only their own honorific term, which is already attached to the name. Therefore, they added Da to Foucault also and called him Foucault Da. Then, later on some amendments were introduced into this naming guidelines. It can refer to a sage, name of a sage. You don't have to create a name afresh. Some sages, names of sages are already available, Vasishta, like that you can give them. Or names of gods, which have become very common nowadays, like Rama, Krishna, etc. Or you can just have the name of the grandfather. As for the name of the female child, it must contain the first, third, or fifth letters of the Varga, marked with a color. Ka, ja, ta, ta, pa, and ga, ja, da, da, ba are the nasal forms. They must, these must be inside somewhere of the name of the female child. And the female child may be given the name of its grandmother. Now, giving the name of the grandfather and grandmother, it has both advantage as well as a disadvantage. Well, disadvantage is that when the elders are there in the house, you feel it rather inconvenient to call the child by the same name, because it is sort of a disrespect shown to the elderly person. So normally some other name is given for just calling or addressing. Sometimes outside the scope of this lecture, just a small idea which happens in families. The grandmother has a particular name and the grandchild is given the same name. Let us say, for example, some Kamala, and this misunderstanding between the daughter-in-law and mother-in-law is proverbial. So the daughter-in-law has some difference of opinion, she wants to show it, but she cannot show it outwardly because she is an elderly person. But she can show it on the child which has the same name. Just for example, you, for example, your name is Kamala. You wretched Kamala, you are, why are you taking my life out? She will. It is intended against the mother-in-law, but she can scold the child.
By proxy.
But that is only outside the scope of this lecture. Just what sometimes happens in families that I want to point out. Now, some authors prescribe a nakshatra namadheya, that is, name that is coined out of the star with which the child is born. Even now it is prevalent. For example, a child born in the Ashwin nakshatra is called Ashwin, or Kartik, or Revati, or Vishak nakshatra. The names of the stars, accordingly the child is named. And according to some Vrihyasutra writers, a child should be given a secret name. Only the father or the parents, and the child, when it grows, they will know the secret name. Nobody else will know. It will be ceremonially uttered into the ear of the child. The idea is that in those days the sorcery and witchcraft, they were prevalent, and they have to necessarily use the name as well as the star, etc. Though he may know the star by hearsay, he may not know the exact secret name that has been given to it. And therefore, in order to prevent such act of the sorcerers and the people who practice witchcraft, a secret name was given. Well, this practice has the sanction even from the Rig Vedic times, because Indra Yajnayam, I am giving you the fourth name. I mean, you are already having, you are associated with your own fourth name. And therefore, four names are to be given for the child that is born. One is the name according to its nakshatra namadeya. Sometimes these both the names are attached together. Its name by which it is called, and also the name of the star in which the child is born. And then a secret name, the second one. And a publicly known name. And then the fourth name is not generally given at the time of the birth. A person may acquire it on account of the performance of the sacrifice that he does. For example, one may perform a somayaga and therefore get the name Somayaji. And he may perform a vajapeya and therefore get the name Vajapeyi. And when a person takes to a ritualistic practice, he is given a Diksha name by his guru. His name may be something else, but his Diksha name that is given to him by his spiritual teacher, that becomes his actual name for all ritualistic purposes. So these are all very, very important from the point of view of Indian tradition, naming, especially the secret name and all that, have got a lot of significance. Now we may go on to the 15th point. A ritual called Karnavedana means piercing the lobe of the ear and application of a golden ring to it. Some of the Grihasutra writers prescribe it on the 10th day after the birth of the child. But some others, later commentators, they say it can be done on the first birthday of the child. Nowadays, in practice, it is performed only on the first birthday of the child. It is very important because, as we see in the Rig Veda itself, Bhadram karne vishrunyama devah, Bhadram pasyem akshavidya jatrah, sthirai rangaihi tushtuvagum sastanubihi, yashema devahi tam yadayuhu. Hearing good things by the ear is very important. And therefore, a golden ring and its being born, that has a significance. Must hear good things and imbibe them. We go on to the 16th point, Nishkramana. We have seen that environment plays an important part in the child, in the ritual. And therefore, when the child anyhow has to contact the external world. But the first time when it is taken out of the house, there is some significance, and a ritual has to be performed so that henceforth, even if it's taken out, you should not contact any bad ideas, bad things. And therefore, the first time when the child is taken out of the house, some small ritual is performed. The child must be made to look at the sun, because as we all know, the sun worship is very important. Right from the Rigvedic times, it is very popular. For example, we see in the Rigveda a very famous stanza: Hagum sashuchishat vasur antarikshasat hota vedishat atithir duronasat nrushat varasat ritasat vyomasat abja goja ritaja adrija ritam. The sun is called the Hamsa of light, and he is the Vasu, a deity that shines in the mid-air, and he is also the priest who shines near the altar, and also the guest who comes to the house is also should be treated like the sun, and a nobleman who dwells in the noblest place and who lives in truth, and mid-men who live in the sky. And this sun shines amongst the floods, among the cows, the truth, and the mountain, and he is the holy law, because he is the witness of all the activities of the world, the pratyaksha devata as we see. And therefore, taking out on the first occasion and making the child see the sun is a very important ritual. In certain cases, the Chandra Darshana is also followed. The child asked to look at the moon. That is also equally important. And a proper day has to be taken, an auspicious day has to be chosen for taking the child out on the first occasion. The auspicious day is the third day of the bright fortnight, Shukla Paksha. And it has to be taken to a temple, preferably the temple of Kartikeya. That is specifically stated in one of the Griha Sutras. Kartikeya is son of Shiva and Parvati. He has got several names, like Subramanya, or in Tamil Nadu as Muruha. So, temple visit on the first occasion when the child is taken out. Both it has got ritualistic tradition as well as the bhakti tradition. Even as a child, the child is trained to be taken to the temple, and so he or she is groomed from the younger age in all religious practices, temple worship, all these things. Then we go on to the 17th point. A ritual called Annaprasana is to be performed. This is the first occasion when the child is given a solid food. We have seen in one of our lectures on the importance of food and its effect on a person. And the food is very important, especially when the child is to be given a food, because it's the nature of the food which decides the nature of the child also when it grows. You give the sattvika food, he will be very sattvic. Rajasic food, then he will become very aggressive. Tamasic food will be very lazy. And therefore, when the child is fed for the first occasion, it is performed in a ritualistic fashion. Annaprasana is given, because food is equivalent to God. Annam brahmeti vyajanat, we have seen. This is to be performed during the 6th month of the child on an auspicious day. In a ceremonial fashion, a mixture of curds, honey and ghee and some cooked rice, they must be made, and then after offering it into the fire, the remnants of it must be given to the child also. Bhurapam tu oshadhinam rasam prashayami shivaste apaha oshadayas santu anami vahate apaha oshadayas santu asau. I have also given the meaning and also the stanza, the rik. I am making you eat the juice of the earth, the food of the earth and the plants. Let the food given to you bring you all kinds of welfare. Let them bring you health and strength and prosperity. Well, with this prayer, the child is given solid food on the first occasion in the Annaprasana ceremony in the 6th month.
Who does it?
The father.
Father.
Then we go on to the 18th point. Varshavardhana, or we call it as Abdapurti. The first birthday of the child. this is the date is fixed according to the same tithi and nakshatra, the star and the day on which it was born, when it was born. The same month has to be chosen and the same
other auspicious day, only the tithi, nakshatra and the month has to be taken into account. And a homa is performed as usual, a fire ritual. And then the father prays. Vasumun, Rudran, Adityan, Maruto, Atasadhyan, Rugun, Yakshan, Gandharvan, Cha Pitrun, Cha Vishwan, Brugun, Sattan, Cha Angirasa, Atasarvan, Gritam, Huvasva, Ayushyam, Amahayama, Shashvat, Swaha. He pours into the fire, the mixer of food, and offers oblations to the eight Vasu. The Vasus are divinities, minor divinities. They are called Ashtavasus, eight, and 11 Rudras, 12 Adityas, 7 Maruts, Satasadhyas, all minor divinities, Ribhus, Yakshas, Gandharvas, the departed fathers, Bhrugus, the serpents, Sarpas, Angiras. To all of them Homa, the fire oblations are made, and then the child, the Karna Vedana, as we saw, the ear boring, that is also performed on the same day. It is adorned with new dresses, and it is given the remnant of the oblation to the child. So this is how it is performed. We go on to the 19th point. During the third year of the boy is provided with a tuft. It is known as the Chudakarma. The boy should be seated facing east, and then a symbolic shaving has to be done by the father himself with the quill of the porcupine, the darbha grass and a bunch of the shoots of the fig tree, as we have seen in Simantonayana earlier. Well, some people, normally people who hold the dress, the hair dress, the tuft is worn on the back of the head. But in Kerala they have it on the side, which is correct. Well, the Griha Sutra writers say Chara, the family tradition, is given Sutra writers themselves. Then we come to the last rite of this lecture, that is Vidyarambha, education. Well, the education is the most important aspect of one's life, and therefore the beginning of education is given due importance. So with all prayers addressed to Ganesha, Saraswati, the goddess of speech, some paddy is spread in a Scottish fashion, and then the child, the father, he catches hold of the fingers of the child, and then he is taught to write an auspicious letters like Om Namo Narayanaya or Ganeshaya or Om Namah Shivaya. So that is how the child is introduced into education in a ceremonial fashion. Of course, the educational rite or ritual in proper is actually conducted in the Upanayana, about which you are going to see in the next lecture. Well, I think these are some of the very important aspects of the postnatal ceremonies, and each one has got a significance of its own, because it provides the proper environment for the child, and then prayers are uttered so that even if it is carrying any effects of the previous birth, they should be, you know, nullified or minimized to the maximum extent possible, and it should be given a proper environment to grow, because all along the parents have been praying for excellent children, and when the child is born, they have to provide the excellent environment for its growth, and that is how these rituals have got great significance. I think that's all I have to say for this lecture.
I believe the guru also speaks the Gayatri mantra into the right ear. So what exactly is the significance of the right ear?
Yes, Gayatri mantra is taught for the first time during the Upanayana.
Right, but I'm just wondering about the
but here only three mantras are uttered.
Om Bhuhu, Om Bhuswaha, Om Bhuvaswaha, Om Suvaswaha, all of them. That's all.
But why the right ear?
Right ear, always the right is supposed to be auspicious. The right ear, right hand. When a guest comes, you don't give anything by left hand according to indentation. I always use the right hand.
The nakshatra and the sthiti, they don't always synchronize. There are 27 nakshatras.
Yes, yes, yes.
And in a month it can be repeated twice.
Yes, yes.
And how can you decide which one of them is the birthday?
Well, the astrologers will decide. They will say, no, there is more of the nakshatra's dominance during this day than the other day, and that we have to perform it now.
But isn't it also the number of cycles of moon that have passed?
Yes, yes.
There's got to be a minimum cycle.
Yes, yes.
When you have the Sadabhishekams.
Yes, 24, yes. 80.
Yeah, 80. It is not 80 years,
yes,
but
80
it's
years.
Got so many moons should
yes,
have passed.
1,000 full
moons.
And again, this Namakarana in our part, Kerala, is done by the maternal.
That is for
80
birthday.
Yes, yes.
80.
Yes. Yes. Kerala always has... a matrimonial, I mean, this, what do you call it?
Matriarchal
society. The property originally belongs to the
mother,
and it should be passed on to her brother.
Children. Of anybody through the
women,
not through the men.
Men, yes. So
and
it's
the
a
name
to society.
Name.
And therefore, the uncle has
becomes
to,
very
yes,
important.
Two things comes out from this particular discussion. The concept of the transmigration of the soul, carrying with it the karma, the importance is given there because after as soon as the child is born, it is the anointments and various other things comes to, in a way, to negate its past negative karmas. So the transmigration of the soul plays that concept plays an important part in the rituals. And of course the second part of the ritual is that all that you suggested is for the well-being of the child so that it doesn't accumulate any further negative karmas.
Correct.
To go on to the fourth. So that seems to me what comes out of this particular postnatal ceremony.
Exactly.
Well, you're making these ceremonies which are more boys oriented, like cutting the hair, and you said something about girls ceremonies.
No, in some of the Griha Sutras, the dressing, hair dressing is prescribed for girls also.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow in practice, it is not followed.
Mm-hmm.
Though there is actually, because somehow male dominated society came into being, and women. The female children are not given the same kind of treatment as male children, and the parents themselves long for male child to continue, because the progeny is supposed to, the family tradition, the tree, is continued by the male children. So this kind of feeling that we cannot question them, somehow it has come to me. But naming female child for them also, everything is given as we have seen, name how to choose, yes please.
Number five, you're calling it your baptism. I wondered what the Sanskrit term is.
Well, there is as such no Sanskrit term for that. I just called it because it is equivalent to what may be called as baptism in Christianity. But the whole thing, right from the day.
But baptism is actually proclaiming the child to be Christian from now on.
Mm.
That is not what is being proclaimed.
Yes, not proclaimed actually, but it is given a spiritual orientation right there.
Mm.
So up to let me see.
Baptism.
Yes, before up to 13.
Okay.
Before the naming ceremony. All this. So the all the 13 together they are called a jataka.
And what happens in this? What are the main features of this fifth?
No, it is just uttering this mantra into the ear of the child.
Mm-hmm.
You are born out of my every limb of mine. With those, with that statement, the mantras are uttered into the ear of the child. He goes to the right ear of the child and utters these mantras.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
At what age is the Nishkamana done?
it is done during the fourth month. Yes. Yes.
Do these things go on today in most families?
Yes. Yes.
Some
it
of
goes
it
on in most families. But as I said earlier, the priest will have his own doubt whether it is performed or not. So whether he have performed it or not, he will perform it during at least during the time of the marriage. But it has to be performed on the 10th day of the child at least.
But if it isn't done, this Namakarna and Jata Karma, at the appropriate time, you say when the child gets married, the priest does it. But the priest may not be an astrologer. How could he do the Jata Karma?
See, that is only a second best option. You're making the best out of a bad bargain.
I see.
Well, you have not performed, you have left it. But at least now, a ceremonial name has to be given to it. So, yes, sir. You are.
A few questions.
Yes.
Is the first birthday actually a standard rite of passage? Is that counted as a central rite of passage or samskara?
Yes.
It is.
Yes, yes,
oh,
yes.
Because I've not heard that one before.
But
that in the south.
Well, your doubt is correct because it is not mentioned as a ritual in some of the Griha Sutras.
Mm.
Some of the earlier writers of the Griha tradition, they do not prescribe this Varshavardhana as one of the rituals. Only later writers, as well as some commentators, they have prescribed it.
Right. And how many samskaras are there altogether on a standard list? Is it 16 or is
yes,
it?
Some say it is 16 and some say it is 18, including some of these. Yes.
Some say 18.
18, yes.
Oh.
18 Shariraka samskaras and 22 Yajna samskaras, together 40 samskaras.
40.
40.
Mm.
Oh.
I'm just wondering, it's interesting to hear about the secret name, because of course the Romans used to do that, but I was wondering, is the child told the secret name, or when is he told, or she?
A secret name is given, yes.
The child knows the name?
Yes, child knows it.
And
yes.
He's not allowed to speak it to anybody else?
But you should not reveal it to others. Perhaps it is given on the day, and perhaps it is forgotten after that. I mean,
so
it
one can't
use,
do the
equivalent
of the voodoo on the child.
You don't use it.
Yeah.
The child also did not say, "I am. This is my secret name."
Mm-hmm.
You should not
reveal it.
Reveal it. Yes.
Because it's just interesting. Because the Romans sometimes they wouldn't tell the child the name.
Mm.
That is interesting.
Why was Kartikeya the main deity for the on the day of Surya Darshan and Chandra Darshan? Sorry, I forgot your name there.
Probably because, well, Shiva and Vishnu, they are all supreme deities. We do not know about their parents. But Kartikeya has got his parents, Shiva and Parvati.
Uh-huh.
So the child, like Kartikeya, he must grow. So that is the idea. And this taking to the temple of Kartikeya is in a very, very late tradition. It is mentioned in one of the latest Griha Sutras, Vaikhanasa Griha Sutra, not in the original Griha Sutras.
In Kerala, the child for at least 40 days when it is off,
yes, yes, yes.
They apply in the mouth sandalwood and vayamba, there is a root.
Yes, yes.
They
yes.
make a mixture of that and touch
correct.
That into the tongue of the child.
Yeah, there are many such folk practices and many such practices. And for 40 days, the lady should not come out of the delivery room.
That's right.
And after 40 days only she is given a sacred bath.
Mm.
And for these 40 days she is given a special kind of food.
Food as well.
Yes.
So all these things are observed.
It varies.
It varies from region to region.
In Kerala the ear piercing is done on the 28th
day
after the birth
after
of the child.
What comes out is that basically rituals are a way of expressing your inner belief system.
Inability?
Your inner belief system.
Yes, yes, exactly.
So through your rituals, you're expressing your beliefs.
Ah.
And in the expression of those beliefs is what you find your sanctuary as well.
Exactly.
The Maruts, why are they negating the influence of evil spirits in Kali? And is it the same Kali as the person
of
Kali Yuga?
Yes. Kali.
And they
and
do.
The Maruts are supposed to be, they are wind gods. Just a wind blows and takes away know, the impurities and unwanted things. So also let them blow off this effect of Kali. That is the idea with which they are addressed.
When there is a practice, when the child is wet, if it is a female child, they put the sandalwood on the left, on the over the left eyebrow. If it is a boy, on the over the right eyebrow, until the child starts eating rice. Then they say the child is no more honest. So you
so
put it in the center. See, this is a custom.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Until
yes.
then they are
yes.
just like divine beings.
Yes, yes, yes.
Then they become human beings.
Yes.
Wow.
They sit on the fence after that.
Yes. Yes.
I'm asked this question because the art of Vastu is very popular these days.
Yes.
When the child, I was very interested about this sanctifying the place where the
yes.
child
yes.
sleeps. Is there a particular direction in the house where the child has to be and so on? And are there other rules about that? Because I'm
yeah.
sure it's
well
important.
It should be secluded,
mm-hmm.
properly ventilated,
mm-hmm.
and well, it should have some conveniences, the bathroom and other things.
Mm.
These are the things that are looked into.
Mm.
Normally
isn't
they will
the
yes.
head doesn't face the south
yeah.
or something.
Yes, south. Generally,
sure.
even
just
otherwise,
there.
Yes.
Mm.
Even otherwise, even elders, grown-up people, we are not supposed to face the south. I mean, the head should not be placed towards the south.
Well, when you're sleeping,
when
the
you're
head
sleeping,
should
yes,
go
yes,
towards
yes.
the south.
Yes.
Yes. Can you recommend the editions of the Kriya Sutras, something available which?
Yeah, there are about 15, 16 Kriya Sutras which are available. I have talked about them during my first lecture. The different Vedas, we have different Griha Sutras. For example, Ashwalayana Griha Sutra for the Rig Veda. And Yajurveda has got a number of Griha Sutras, 7 or 8. And there are 1 or 2 for, among the Yajurveda, Krishna Yajurveda has 7 or 8, and Shukla Yajurveda has about 3 or 4. And then Samaveda has got 2, and Atharvaveda has got 1. Only these are available. There were many more. As many as the shakas and the Vedas. Vedas themselves had many shakas, many recensions. And for each recension, we had a Griha Sutra. But unfortunately, they are extinct. We have only few shakas and a few Griha Sutras. And they vary slightly in the employment of particular mantra or in the performance on the steps of the preliminary steps of a particular ritual. For example, in a marriage, Ashwalayana Griha Sutra will prescribe only 7 or 8 steps. But when you come to Bodhayana Griha Sutra, you will have some more. When you come to Vaikanas Griha Sutra, which is the latest, probably it is assigned 10th century AD, it has many more. So, many local traditions and customs.
Get incorporated.
Yes, getting incorporated into them. And they were given license and you know, authority by the respective Griha Sutra writers. That is why many Griha Sutras we have.
And there is also a ceremony, a child, since after it's born, every day after dusk, they make a solution of lime and turmeric.
You have anything to ask before you?
Thank you.
Lime and turmeric and make it reddish color.
Yes, yes, yes.
And
yes.
with a wick in
yes.
the hand, they
wave.
Sort of wave it in front of the child
yes, yes, yes.
for about 21
yes, yes, yes.
times
and
then thrown out.
Yes.
That is to take away any demons or devils.
Yes, yes,
from and it goes on for about 90 days?
Yes, yes, yes. It varies. 40 days in certain conditions.
Yeah.
90 days.
But they don't do that now. Probably those
yeah.
days demons and devils were more powerful than human beings, so yeah, they did it, but no more.
Sir, you have anything, any question to ask?
We have to.
Oh yes, please.
Okay. I have one more question.
Well,
you mentioned, I think, there are 4 influences on the kind of the attitude
yes.
and behavior of
yes.
the child. One of is the previous karma.
Yes.
The other is the consciousness of the husband and wife
yes,
when they're
yes.
trying to conceive
yes.
the child.
Yes.
Does that actually have an effect on the child, or does it? I thought it more determine the type of soul that was attracted towards the body. But does it actually have an influence?
Yes, it does have an effect.
It does.
I think even according to medical science,
mm-hmm.
the mood in which the parents unite,
yeah.
that has an effect on the child.
Yes.
That is why, you know, traditionally it is said whenever the husband and wife, you know, unite, they have to concentrate on begetting excellent children. Suprajaha, that's what we want. Excellent children, with the endowed with all good qualities. They must be great. They must do service to the society. With which and therefore it is said, the first child alone is called a dharma praja. For which is born for dharma. Rest of the children are kama praja. They are born
out of desire.
Oh, I see. The first one.
And therefore, you may get, but.
But it can work the other way around.
Some
first one
yeah,
can
sometimes.
Turn out
yes.
to be a dharma.
Yeah, it may be a kama, but then also when you unite in a very good mood, then perhaps the child, in many cases we have seen. The eighth child happened to be a great genius, I think.
Anyway, what you said is what he's
true.
Also saying,
yes,
because if you have good intentions,
yes.
you're also attracting the good soul.
Yeah,
that is
the... Because the story is then the Mahabharata, Dhritarashtra was born.
Yes,
yes,
yes. And in the previous lecture, I talked about some of the rituals. When the child is in the womb,
yes.
and we have the story of Mahabharata, Abhimanyu,
yeah.
In the womb of his
well,
mother, he grasped
the martial art.
His martial art.
Well, what about Ashtavakra as well?
Yeah.
Story.
Yeah.
Yes, that is, Krishna was narrating about
the
Vyuha and all those things.
Well, Krishna was speaking,
yes, yes,
and
yes.
his sister Subhadra was
yes.
there.
Mm. And even in the womb, he was listening to it.
But he didn't complete it.
Yes.
He didn't complete it. That is why Abhimanyu was
saying.
Yeah.
I mean, he was listening in his mother's womb. But because he was endowed with divine knowledge, every time his father made a mistake, he apparently he kicked his mother's womb. And his father recognized that the child was protesting. So I think father used to get angry with this unborn baby. Interrupting every time. So he used to curse it. So he ended up with eight angles, Ashtavakra curse.
Yeah.
But he was
brilliant.
A brilliant seer and a philosopher. And then the story goes on that how he challenged the... even as a child, he was able to challenge a king's minister who was so arrogant that nobody could challenge him in any philosophical debate. Ashtavakra as a child goes and challenges him.
Gita.
There's a Gita according
sorry,
to him
yes,
as well.
Yes, Ashtavakra Gita, yes.
Yes, and there are classes
wait.
Running in Chennai as well,
yes.
in Madras,
mm-hmm.
on Ashtavakra
mm-hmm.
Gita.
Yes, excellent exposition.
Prahlad Maharaj also in the womb of his mother.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
yes, yes, exactly. Do you have anything to ask?
Anything else? Well, yeah, I mean, I do have questions, but it relates to somewhat to what the comment you made, actually, about it might come under the next lecture, though, about how when you sing, sorry,
yeah,
Giri
is an easier name to remember.
About how we say that rituals are the sort of like end product of thought in a way, that they're the external manifestation of our thought. But in the West, there's of course a lot of debate about. Well, some people go to the extent of saying, which I don't personally understand, that rituals came first, and then people theorized about them after. So I wonder how that relates to the Indian concept, but specifically what do you think about that kind of Western argument that rituals come first, belief system, and then you try and then you create a ritual. The rituals perhaps came first, and then people afterwards, they began to extrapolate and say there's many more theories and things like that. So I mean, that seems to me to be very much on its head and quite silly.
Yeah.
So I wonder what you would say about that.
I mean, I think you were talking in one of your talks that the basic mantras, which are part of the rituals, thou shalt do this, you shall do this, you shall do this, is regarded as God-given. So in that concept, it comes first. But when you look at it in a philosophical way, and also then you look at
even
it
from looking at the philosophical angle, well, the ultimate idea is to realize the soul, Brahma Sakshatkara. But that is not very easy. So you have to first do your karma, your rituals. And rituals are meant to purify the mind. When you are performing the ritual, when you are concentrating, your mind is focused. And it is not thinking of other external evil things. You are focused, you are doing it. And therefore, they contribute to your chitta shuddhi, the purification of the mind. That is the first step for all philosophical practices and reaching the highest goal.
Yeah.
But unless your mind is pure, you can't have the manana, shravana, manana, nididhyasana.
Mm. Oh, nididhyasana.
Yes. The hearing of the soul and then imbibing and then concentrating, meditating. For all these things, the mind has to be pure first of all.
Mm.
How do you practice?
This
simply if you say, have chitta shuddhi, keep your mind pure, very difficult. So involve you in rituals and therefore your mind gets focused.
That's
so this practice you put into practice the same.
Yeah, the parallel question would be, did God create us or did we create God? I know it sounds sacrilege, but think of it in a philosophical term. Who created whom?
Well, the West would say that we created God.
The science would say we created, say. The neuroscientists would say we created God. But you can't prove either of them. In other words, we are a question. So in some ways,
if
rituals...
If I go into Advaita, I will say, neither God is creating you, nor you are creating God. You are part and parcel of the Supreme Spirit. There is no question of separatism at all.
Okay. So in other words, the rituals, then this question comes in, from that question would follow, at least this is, I mean, the last 2 days I've been having a headache thanks to getting the answer in my head. This asking I wondered why I went and asked this question and spent 2 days having a headache. It's the question, is it? And then I said, let me create the sacrilege of all things and say, did God create us or did we create God? That's one question. And from that will follow, the next thing is that if God created us on that condition, then rituals were also created by God. So that negates, comes, you know, if, in other words, it's a conditional. Unless you have a belief system, it is very difficult. So now where did the belief system come from? It comes only after the creation. So from that you have to deduce that the rituals came before the belief system.
The belief system is a very Western concept, I believe. Belief system. I think it's a very Western concept. I mean, my wife was doing this course in philosophy saying that knowledge is rationalized belief. But I think from the Vedic tradition, knowledge comes first, and belief is kind of a way of, is an approach towards knowledge. I would always see that knowledge is higher than belief, and I think this idea of a belief system.
Knowledge exists, but how you access your knowledge is based on your beliefs.
That's true.
But
the knowledge comes first.
Knowledge is there.
Yeah, yes.
Knowledge exists.
Yes, it does.
It does.
Yes.
Knowledge exists. Nobody created knowledge.
The words
knowledge exists.
In Gita.
Yeah, but you also Uttare
Atmana
Atmana
It is very
Atma Atmana
Atmana.
So that God is in you.
Yes.
So we didn't create, God didn't create. So that. That verse, in fact, explains the whole concept.
I eventually realized I was asking the wrong question.
And those who haven't achieved that level, they may have to depend on a temple or an idol or something else. But essentially,
I could never get the right answer because every time I look at the answer, because what we have got now in the world does not attribute in any way, does not reflect that Brahmatma at all, because there is the the wrong kinds of karmas are being happened, and adharmas are going on and so on. So it cannot reflect. So I decided, don't ask what's the purpose of creation at all. Next thing is that the creation take on this creation had no purpose. It was an accident. Okay, and now. Then the next question follows is that if creation had no purpose, what is our purpose in life? It's to negate that accident.
Why negate it?
Because through the life you lead it, the accident is no more purposeless. It develops a purpose. So the word negation has meaning.
If there's no overarching purpose, then no matter what kind of individual purpose you try.
No, but because of creation, the way we see it, my question was wrong only in the sense was what was the purpose of creation? If creation had no purpose at all, because if it had no purpose and it was an accident, whatever it is, the accident of Brahmatma being reflected in Maya, and that accident was what followed on with the creation. If I then took it one step further and said, now that because of that accident or whatever the interaction, because that wasn't purposeful interaction, we are constructed, we are created, in whatever level, then the life we lead is to remove the Maya Vidya, that is the negation of creation.
Can I ask another question?
That's the way I look at it.
If in Mimamsa, for instance, I understand that we can have the same ritual but for different purposes. And I just wonder if someone was going to try to substantiate the argument I was making before. Do you ever find cases where you have ritual activity which has really lost the original purpose of that activity? So, for instance, in two parts of India, you get the same kind of ceremony but for different reasons, for different purposes?
Diwali is a good one.
Well, the purposes for which the rituals are performed, there may be a slight change in the course of years. Some rituals are introduced afresh. Some rituals have been there for a long time.
Right.
New rituals are being given a sanction. Well, it goes on because you can't dispense with ritual. If you destroy a ritual in one sense, it will come back in another form.
Yeah.
Because the question of your own faith, belief, even in Tamil Nadu, I'll give you an interesting episode.
Tamil Nadu.
The so-called reformer, his name is Ramaswamy Iyengar. He championed the cause of atheism. There is no God. There is no. You need not go to the temple. You need not worship. So you need not believe in Ramayana, Mahabharata, Puranic stories. They are all mere nonsense. So he went on spreading his ideas. He also gained some prominence in the common people. But then, after his death, a samadhi was constructed. You understand samadhi?
Mm.
What do you call it?
Samadhi. A grave.
And his followers, they used to come to that grave and then break coconuts and then show camphor and all that.
They did that. They do that for another age, samadhi.
In the humanists,
yes,
these days,
yes,
you know, they've got this wedding ceremony,
yes,
with vows, and you know, it's like they're trying to keep out the spiritual, but it kind of creeps in somewhere or other, you know. Because recently, I was in the registry office for a wedding, and you're not allowed to read, because of Oliver Cromwell, you can read poems, but you can't read religious poems. And I was saying to the lady, there's a feeling of a church in his peaceful. It's like, you know, they try and keep the spiritual out, but because we are spiritual,
well, it's a whole
it comes back in again, you know.
Even
I was in Moscow, we saw from a distance this cathedral, looked like a cathedral. When we got up, it was this most ugly skyscraper with kind of statues of very robust men and women, you know, Russian style. And I saw a picture of how people used to salute Stalin or Lenin, I forget who it was. But, you know, they get rid of God. But they ultimately become God, and people worship them. They go to his mausoleum,
yes,
you know,
yes.
And it's like,
in Kerala, most of the communist leaders, they didn't believe in God and temple. But when their daughter or son got married, they wanted that to be in the Hindu way.
You know, one of the people that we've asked, we are renovating a temple inside Tamil Nadu, and the communist, absolute pure communist chap, he attends the meetings because he says this particular Ranganatha Vishnu is very powerful, so I don't want to be on his wrong side.
Yes.
So that is what happens.
Yes,
people
yes,
say they don't believe,
like
but they practice the custom.
Yes.
Yeah,
we can have some more discussion also.
But I like the thing is, if the question he asked, what came first, rituals or the belief?
Just
yeah,
like asking whether the chicken or the
egg. Before that, I mean, if you talk for the common person, I think the ritual to engender belief is there.
Yeah,
but at the same time, for the intelligent class of men, they should understand the meaning behind it.
Yeah,
the belief can also mean bhakti as well.
Ah.
So, in a way, you believe in God. So if you take as, what's his name? Who was the first governor of India?
Who? In Madras?
Rajaji.
Yeah.
As Rajaji says, jnana, karma and bhakti.
Mm.
Those are the three things that you take. Knowledge, devotion and your actions. Karma. The problem here that comes in is that just having knowledge only doesn't take you to wisdom.
Yes.
No.
You've got to have bhakti and you've got to